I understand that about the same time you started developing this library of materials.
Within the first 3 or 4 years, we had 4,000 addresses, people who were theoretically members of the network, and the information kept flowing in from Outer Mongolia, from Nigeria, from, you can just go on and on like that. Ethiopia was particularly interested. So we just had interest everywhere in the world, and we were the only source at that time.
So then you were also distributing the information from the library to these people that
right,
would contact
yeah.
you?
Yeah, that's why we had the library and getting information from them. And, of course, this is all before the internet, so it was quite different.
So this was essentially telephone inquiries and mail inquiries and
yep.
that kind of thing?
And fax.
And then what happened when the internet came to be and you started getting, I would assume, thousands of emails and requests?
Well, the internet didn't really kick in on urban agriculture until 2002. Now, prior to that, we were using email, but you weren't getting the information out on the web. What's happened now is that there are hundreds of organizations. I was just looking at London. They have a program there of having 1,012 projects producing food in London by the year 2012. And the number of organizations involved in that are 50 in just greater London. So and you can just go around the world like that. Rosario, Argentina is particularly significant. They have 10,000 operators there, 6,000 of which are women practicing urban agriculture in that one city. And it's not a particularly large city.
So your network, being the first of its kind, really then begun the movement for a lot of other organizations
right.
to start urban agriculture activities
yeah, thousands.
And information sources.
Thousands, yeah.